listening to TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Now, the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. Got a show with a difference for you today because my guest has his own channel and he's going to put it out on, it's the 21st of May today, so it'll be today or tomorrow or something. You're hearing it on my show on, June the 7th. So I'm really pleased to be doing this because it can be frustrating when I get to record the shows so far in advance. But then you try doing it live and you get interference, etc. So it's difficult to know which way to go. And if you just book guests in and people will cancel at last minute or you'll have technical problems, you can't get hold of them, then you're not going to be able to get shows out in time. But that being said, whether you're listening via my guest's channel or via mine, I want to welcome you all. And most importantly, I want to welcome my guest. He's Brendan O'Connell. Brendan, are you with me?
Oh, I am, Andrew. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you on. And your tale is quite a sad one, the sort of things that have been done to you, that have happened to you, and you've really suffered for this more than most. Could you run through for the listeners your story in as great or as little a detail as you would like, please?
Firstly, as far as the notion of suffering, look, I wear it with pride, getting my arm broken and beaten and bashed and jailed. I wear it with pride. Any suffering is to do with the frustration I've had in moving things forward. But all that stuff aside, I was jailed for 3 years under the Western Australian racial vilification legislation, Section 80B and Section 77, which was that I racially harassed Stanley Elliott Keyser by calling him a racist Jew with a religion of racism, hate, homicide, and ethnic cleansing. At a rally to support the Gazans, in which he stalked us, followed us, photographed us. He's a member of the Australasian Union of Jewish Students. He's a hardcore Zionist political activist, head of Habanim Doror, the Zionist Socialist Youth Group. So this guy is a political activist who complained I had offended him and hurt his feelings. I got 1 year's jail for that, which was all on video. And then I got a total of 10 years jail for four comments on a blog and one comment on a video under Section 77, which was that I was inciting against a racial group, that I was encouraging others. And this was stuff that Professor Norman Finkelstein or a British Jewish activist Paul Eisen might say at a London University conference, or Israel Shamir. So it was pretty ludicrous, but this was in May the 2nd, 2009, at a shopping centre to do with fruit. And I was hoping to mix with the Friends of Palestine and say, why don't you talk about the high technology sector, Telpiot, Israel's domination of the military and civilian technology sector, these huge companies that are running all the subcontractors for Homeland Security, for the NSA, which gives them their domination of politicians, bribery, blackmail, etc. And also talking about Jewish racial and religious supremacism as the foundation for the Jewish state, not the Zionist state, the Jewish state under Judaism. And that was always my way I wanted to go. And when the police came, it was very full on. Then they worked out I wasn't mentally ill or about to kill anyone. The Jewish community had stated that I threatened to kill their kids. I didn't even know where their damn synagogue was. It was ridiculous. But, never let it look bad. They're professional liars. Lying comes naturally to them. And I thought that would be the end of it, that it was a bit of a joke charge. But they asked me to take the video down. I refused. And I said, and by the way, we'll talk about the Collins-class submarine, the cost overruns, how they're Israeli-modified systems, and we'll talk about Telpiot and our infiltration of Australia and our encrypted communication systems in our special forces base, all Israeli. And the poo hit the proverbial fan, and the harassment just was horrendous. And the rest is history. 3 years in jail later, 2 years, 4 months, maximum security. I had to fight to get minimum security. I was beaten, bashed, blown pupil, closed head injury, major concussion, busted arm in two places, hairline fracture of jaw, untreated for a month, major displaced fracture of my ulna. Happened on 9/11/2012. That's a nice date. I'm still going now. I'm in exile with a warrant for my arrest on further charges, and that's the short version, Andrew.
Thank you, Brendan. And the issue is, of course, what had happened was it was pretty, inevitable, should we say, that they were planning to just remand you in custody and keep postponing your trial date. And that was the game that they'd been playing, and that was why you were basically forced into the situation that you are, because you're not going to be treated freely in Australia because they're under this tyrannical rule. So you had to get out for your own safety.
Well, yeah, boy, this is the second part of the charges. I was hounded and arrested. There was major exposure of corruption within the prison systems. I demanded that Liam Samuel Cashman, the senior officer, Paul Jarrett, another senior prison officer who were liaising with a notorious bikie who's like well-known in Australia, probably the top bikie criminal, Troy McCanty, actually a Jewish family, Italians live in Dianella, well-known as high-level Freemasons, involved with Inspector Steve Jancic, Inspector of Police, Master Mason at Perth. He's a major organised criminal and obviously works with the police. They were the people that organised my beating in jail. Senior Officer Paul Jarrett was exposed as bringing in drugs for them, mobile phones. This was all transpired from my beating. So when I got out of there, I was harassed horrendously. And previous to that, I thought I would be heading to Iran, and President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad had offered me political asylum when I was on my hunger strike in jail via Mark Glenn of The Ugly Truth, who was working with Press TV. And then they turned on us. And Iran has really peed me off twice. There's something very wrong in Iran. I hate to break people's faith, but there's something very wrong. And these current charges where I rang the minister, or actually I emailed the minister and said, if you don't investigate Liam Samuel Cashman, which I had been trying to organise as I was harounded and harassed constantly, I will kill the BASTARD. Now, the minister then rang me. This was an act of desperation. He's a good guy, a Catholic. Joe Francis, he's a bit of a conservative, not quite my politics, but he's honest, and he was brought in to clean out the prisons. He's actually, ironically, a submariner. He actually was employed on the Collins Class sub, which originally started my journey in 2005, and he also has a Commissioner of Corrective Services, James McMahon, who was a former colonel in the Special Forces Special Air Service, and he was brought in to protect him. That's how bad Western Australia is. And the quote from the minister to me on the phone in a 32-minute phone call on October the 10th, 2014, was, number one, Brendan, just calm down, relax, we'll sort it out. James McMahon has my back, we'll be having a beer together. And then he said, I'm more scared of my own prison officers than I am of the bikies, after I stopped their drugs getting into the jail. And Andrew, that is a serving minister. That's a quote. And I have proof that there is an admission from the Department of Public Prosecutions that the call took place, and I have that email. So if anyone wants to doubt me that a serving minister has to have a special forces commander watching his back because the corruption between police, prison officers and organised crime is so great in Western Australia, that will form the basis of a potential political asylum application. Well, I was hoping for London, but people said, don't bother, probably go to Ireland and give it a go. I don't know if Malaysia is the right place to apply for political asylum, but that's where I'm currently at. And they delayed these charges for over 2 years. Constantly delaying anything to keep me under those bail conditions. And that's when I said, enough, I have to get out of here. They're just going to keep me under for another 2 years again.
Yes, I mean, the fact is that they've already beaten you in prison and left a fracture untreated for a month. And then I understand as well that the x-rays they conveniently destroyed as well, so you didn't have any evidence to sue them with.
The original x-ray, yes, was disappeared. I finally got some digital ones much later, but the original shattered bone, which I saw in the thing, that was disappeared, absolutely, because it required a pin and plate, and they didn't want me to have one. So they just left me to rot, basically. If that happened in Iran, it would be front page news.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be Amnesty International, you know, look at how prisoners are being beaten and denied medical care and all this sort of thing. And people think something like this would be coming out of the Middle East or out of Africa or something. It's coming out of Australia.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, American jails, my God, I mean, they're just like kill houses. They're absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we're going to do today, and there's other things that we need to run through as well, but I should have given the title for the show because Brendan came up with this beforehand. Essentially, for those of you who've listened to Brendan a lot, he's frustrated by the fact that we keep talking about things, but we're not doing anything. And Brendan's got great ideas as to how to get us out there doing things to prevent our own destruction. And so I've got a title of this show of a strategy we can implement in tackling Jewish power. But before we get into that, Brendan, can you give us some examples of Jewish power. For example, like Telpiot is one of the issues that you've been talking about a lot. Run through what they're doing and then we can run through how we can combat this.
Look, this is the key. It's one of the keys. My first key is probably exposing Orthodox Judaism and the Talmud and various other terrorist handbooks of Jewish power. Their religion of Judaism is the foundation for the Israeli state. And we end this term Zionism. It is Judaism. The other pillar is, of course, what people are – it's now catching on. People are finding out now, it really is catching on, that Israel dominates the entire civilian and military high technology sector. They dominate literally everything, including the private subcontractors for the NSA, for Homeland Security, etc. And they have hundreds of these graduates of Israeli military intelligence, electronic data intercept programs, but especially Operation Telpiot. And under this program in the late 70s, it was set up to dominate the high technology world that was emerging. And most people have no idea that Israel is regarded as a technology juggernaut. That's a quote, a technology juggernaut. And Google is shifting their operations there. They call it Silicon Wadi, not Silicon Valley, Silicon Wadi. So you have Jews like Henry Kissinger who shifted all the heavy industry and manufacturing to China. And now we have the same people shifting the high technology sector to Israel, to the point where they have built the most advanced research and development Intel chip fabrication factory in Israel. So now they are hardwiring kill switches into software, into hardware, into core infrastructure in the internet. This is how they dominate, to the point where Edward Snowden admits, and in the movie Snowden, which I posted online, this section, they have kill switches. They have kill switched the entire planet, and they can literally flick off the electronic grid. They can flick off power stations. They can flick off hospital systems, which you saw happen recently in London. They can flick off all sorts of things to do with nuclear reactors. This is all being controlled by Israel, not America, Israel. And that is the key. And Operation Telpiot, or Telpiot, T-A-L-P-I-O-T. That's T-A-L-P-I-O-T. If you just put that one word in, Telpiot, you will get a mountain of information. There's even a book that's been written recently, and I've been screaming since 2005 about this. In that book, it's called Israel's Edge, and it talks about this program. And in it, you will get all the keywords and key information you need to see. Now, they kept this thing very low key until I highlighted it in 2010, and they ripped down all of the websites and tried to keep things very quiet. But now they're having to admit to it because they don't want it to be seen as being hidden. And I'm sure you're going to see a flood of documentaries and Israeli produced websites which will make it out as, oh, there's nothing to hide here. You know, the Technion, their premier research and development school, which they have, it's called the Technion. You're going to find out that Daniel Lewin, Akamai Service, which controls all the flows of the internet, PHP, the actual code that runs 90% of all websites, that all came out of the Technion. It all came out of Operation Telpiot. And you will start to understand every banking, finance, police database, you name it, it all comes out of Israel, every single last one of them. And this is their power. This is their power to control. And if we address that, then we're going to get somewhere. And as we discussed before, all this new racial vilification legislation, if we will drop Adolf Hitler for 5 minutes, if we will drop National Socialist Germany for 5 minutes, if we will stop going out under free speech, I want my free speech, why don't we actually analyze where their weaknesses are? And as we discussed previously, let's come out under a national security issue and point out their racism, their hatred, okay? Let's drop all this, the killing the white people, white genocide, and just focus on them so we can destroy their power. AIPAC, the ADL, all the Jewish Defense League, all these huge lobby groups, which are literal Israeli military intelligence outlets. We can start to turn our own militaries and our own security and intelligence infrastructure against these people. Because remember, the FBI, the CIA, they hate Israel. And it's only the key people like Dave Frasca, as one example, the head of the Muslim Fundamentalist Unit in the FBI. He was the one guy that successfully stopped the investigation of Muhammad Atta, who was being sheep-dipped in Miami at the flying school in Venice, in Florida. That one guy, and that's all you need, just that one section chief. And that's what Israel does. It targets, it blackmails, it bribes, it gets drugs, it uses sexual prostitutes, Jeffrey Epstein, blackmail, sexual blackmail. That's how they do it. And if we will focus on that, we will avoid all these pitfalls of quote-unquote race.
Yes, and if people reflect 100 years ago on the Bolshevik revolution in Russia, of course it was Jews that were behind that, but they had to get the armed forces and the police, etc., on their side that were ethnic Russians. And so it goes to show that a small group of these people can get control of other people and get them to do their bidding. And it's time that the shoe was on the other foot and we start by using our own evidence as to what they're up to turn the military and the police, etc., against them in the same way that they've done it in the past, as I just referenced there to Russia. What are your thoughts on that, Brendan?
Oh, I'm with you 100%, Andrew. It's got to go that way. They specialise in bribery and blackmail. And where's that? You can find that contained in Talmud. They actually have teachings, Shulchan Aruch and the Talmud. They're rabbinic teachings, their rabbinic discussions on how to bribe and blackmail the goy, the cattle. It's actually in their terrorist handbooks. They are terrorist handbooks. They are a terrorist organization. They are not even a damn religion. They are a terrorist organization. They are a national security risk. I repeat, a national security risk. That's the issue you go after. And we need to get the military on side. We need to, you know, explain to Americans, you've got your legs blown off, you've lost your eyes, you've had severe concussions, you're paraplegic, you're a quadriplegic, you've lost control of your bowels, you've been killed, you've become killers for the state, you've got PTSD, all because the Israeli state, who calls you a dumb animal, their own rabbis call you a dumb animal, a slave, you are running around and killing Muslims who have done nothing to you, who revere Christ as a great prophet, who revere Mary, his blessed mother. And you've got these people that consider Jesus is boiling in hot excrement in hell, and you are killing and maiming on their behalf. We have got to get the intelligence community, the armed forces community on our side, and we ain't going to do it by running around wearing Hitler T-shirts and demanding that the Holocaust is a fraud and that Hitler was right, and just drop it and go out after this issue as a national security issue and point out their racism and their hatred, and just wear a Che Guevara T-shirt, get some dreadlocks, don't wash for a week, go and rescue a gay whale on the beach, and then infiltrate their groups, get into the Friends of Palestine, and start educating people on Operation Talpiot, the domination of the high technology sector. The BDS movement must move against their high technology military and civilian, not bloody grapefruit and soda stream makers on the West Bank. Are you kidding me? These people's main export is high-tech military equipment, which they steal off the Americans and on-sell to China, India, and bloody Russia, for crying out loud. I mean, American taxpayers are getting taken for suckers, big time.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that is the real issue, because it's always amazed me with this sort of rise of the alt-right, because they kind of get to follow it when they wake up to the Jewish question, and they immediately develop this love for Adolf Hitler because they think that he killed 6 million Jews. But then as soon as they look into Hitler, they find out that, you know, he didn't kill anywhere near that many and there weren't the gas chambers, etc., etc. But they still vilify him, even though, you know, there's books out there, things like Adolf Hitler, Father of Israel. And, of course, we know that there was that transfer agreement in place. So he kind of helped build up that nation that's causing all these problems today. So it really is, we need a strategy of how we're going to tackle these people, how we're going to tackle Jewish power. We're not going to get the media to do it for us. And the alternative media, it's good that it's growing, but it's the same people that go to it. We struggle to break through. If you try to launch a mainstream publication, it would just get closed down straight away. It'd be, oh, this is hate speech, that's hate speech, what have you. So we need to look at other ways in which to get our message out to people. And I like your idea of educating some of these groups that would be regarded as, you know, Antifa leftist groups. Now, obviously, in there, you're going to encounter a lot of these people. And it could be quite dangerous in the sense of you almost be going in as an infiltrator, an agent, just with all this information. But the people that join these groups because they really believe in justice, if they can be educated in the facts that it is actually these elite Jews that are behind all these wars, etc., and this is how they're doing it, then they're going to be receptive to our message. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, bang on. I think you're exactly right. Look, I was a virtual communist in my little 20s. And, you know, you always start out a communist and then you grow up. But, you know, a lot of these people, they're really sincere. They're good people. They want to hug and kiss and get along and smoke a joint. And, you know, they're libertarians, really. But, you know, the ones at the top are these hardcore Marxist twat, guess who, Jews again. You know, the feminists, the femo-Nazis and all the rest, you know, it's such a cliche. But the vast majority of these people are good people. And we need to get them on board. Wear a Che Guevara T-shirt. Grow your dreadlocks. Whatever you have to do. Infiltrate. That's what they do. Stop making yourself a target by wearing a big pink shirt, standing up and saying, oh, I want my rights. Give me my rights. You don't have any damn rights. They are going to lock us up in FEMA camps, execute us who won't convert and do as we're told. They're going to sterilize us with vaccines. And they're gonna probably, you know, the rise of the robots and artificial intelligence is scaring the hell out of me, and these bloody drones that are running around predator droning everyone, they're gonna be used on us. So we better move damn fast. They're gonna stick us in FEMA camps. Hillary's got plans for a friggin' re-education camp, for crying out loud. We better get moving. Stop being like a child. Oh, I know my rights, give me my rights. You don't have any. It's a war, you fool. So you better start fighting it, and you better stop getting caught in these subcultures where you get trapped. They trap you in these subcultures. Just go out, strategize, see where the weaknesses lie, and don't use the bloody term race. Nazi, National Socialist, Adolf Hitler, just take that name out of your history book, out of your verbal, and just go in saying, hey, man, hey, comrades, have you heard about Operation Talpiot? Israel's, have you heard about the BDS? We should be focusing on their high technology military sector, man. They're stealing from the US taxpayers. They're killing kids with it. Oh, my God, I'm so, look, they're killing poor little children. Play it up, man. Infiltrate. Stop demanding your rights. You don't have any. It's a war. So start acting accordingly.
Yes, and this is where we need to kind of quantify what information would be best used in this strategy. So we're put ourselves in a situation now that we're in a group, say a leftist group, and we need to find the information that we provide them with to kind of get us to see the message as to the fact it is these elite Jews that are really behind what's going on. So let's take something like the formation of Israel, for example. Now, a lot of these groups, as you say, these pro-Palestinian groups, now they're a kind of an Achilles heel for the Jews, I feel, because a lot of even members of parliament will say, oh, you know, it's wrong what's going on in Palestine. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party in the UK, you know, running for prime minister, which he's not going to get, but the election is June the 8th. But he's high profile at the moment. And he's a supporter of Palestine and what have you. And he says, it's not fair what's being done, etc., etc. And of course, when the Jews have brought out this global definition of anti-Semitism, one of the caveats, if you like, you know, one of the definitions, sub-definitions of anti-Semitism on it was if you criticise Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. I mean, it's just an amazing document to read. It's everything that Jews are up to in the world. If you criticise it, you're anti-Semitic and you're going to go to prison. But most people looking down that list, your Jeremy Corbyns and all that, they'll look, oh, media control, yeah, that's anti-Semitic, and banking control, yeah, that's just an old anti-Semitic canard as well. And then they'll get down to Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. They'll be like, well, no, we can't have that because they are treating them badly. So whilst they'll be completely off point on all the other major issues and they wouldn't even know what Talpiot is, the Palestinian issue, there's a lot of groups already out there that are fighting for the Palestinian rights. And it's just a case of getting involved in them and saying, have you seen, you know, how Israel was founded, what they did to the Palestinians then? Have you seen the Talmud, what they say about people there? And using their own documents to do it. What I can't understand, Brendan, is that Ken Livingstone, of course, you know, suspended from the Labour Party because he said that the Zionists and the Nazis had a deal. Well, of course they did. The book is called The Transfer Agreement by Edwin Black. Why didn't he just take that to the damn hearing and say, there you go, have you got a problem? Take it up with this Jew who wrote the book. You know, show him a picture of the coin that has the six-pointed star. Sorry, go ahead.
Andrew, this is the point. You're frustrated. I'm frustrated. Why didn't he do that? Well, does everyone get suddenly stupid all of a sudden? Why? You know, they're giving it away. We have, and the mullahs are the same. The imams are just as bad. Islam's just as bad. They seem to be congenitally stupid. We have their top Sephardic rabbi who had a million mourners at his funeral procession. It's the biggest funeral procession in history in 2014. Rabbi Avadia Yosef. Okay, he's and the Ashkenazi are just as bad. They're all nuts, all of them. And he's quoting from the book of Isaiah, which is termed, "You will be priests of the Lord. You will suck. You know, all the wealth of the nations will be yours." Straight out of their own holy books. And he's saying they'll be our slaves, and that's the only reason God made non-Jews. They are giving it away. They say we're worthy of death. Even the best of snakes should have their heads crushed. Jesus is boiling hot excrement in hell. Just quote it. Just say, look at this. Look at this. Look what he's saying. This is the most racist, supremacist, crazy, psychotic lunacy. That's all you have to do. Keep the spotlight on them and quote from their own stuff. It was reported in Haaretz for crying out loud. It was reported in the Jerusalem Post for crying out loud. These people are dead bones nuts. They have yeshiva academies and military academies. I mean, Prisoner X, Ben Zigier, the Australian Jew, the Mossad agent who apparently allegedly committed suicide, but I do wonder about that. That was a high-profile case. Well, he was attending a yeshiva academy in Melbourne. Okay, that's where they trained them up, under Talmud. And guess who else was learning at that same yeshiva? Well, that would be tapped for Prime Minister, Liberal Party member Josh Frydenberg, Member of Parliament, trained at the same yeshiva. This guy should be run out of damn politics, and he's best friends with Tony Abbott, our Catholic neocon former PM. These people need to be exposed. So I'm not going to try and rehabilitate Adolf Hitler. Hitler was right. I'm going to keep the focus on them, their yeshiva, nutcase Talmudic schools, their disgusting religious practices, how a woman converts to Orthodox Judaism by being naked in a bath with two rabbis and they insert their fingers into her vagina with a white cloth. If that was Islam, we'd be hearing about that for the next 500 years as an example of their foul and disgusting religion. The Jewish feminists would be out in force. They'd be weeping and crying. But apparently when you're Jewish and you're into Talmud and you're Orthodox Jew, you can do whatever you like. You can suck on a little baby's penis that's bleeding after you've circumcised it, give the child herpes and kill him. And even when the Jewish-controlled New York Times pulls you up and say, hey, what the hell's going on here? You'll just say, we've been doing this for 5,000 years, quote, and we'll keep on doing it. Now, here is ammunition galore. And you just have to say it with a sincere face. I am very concerned that 80% of all Jews who identify as religious are Orthodox. And here is their Talmud. Here is their Shulchan Aruch, which the Russians wanted to label as racist hate literature. 5,000 members of the intelligentsia, universities, the arts, culture, politics, signed a 5,000-member petition demanding that the Shulchan Aruch, which is the final authority of the rabbis, be labeled racist hate literature. We have all this ammunition, and no one seems to use it in any coherent fashion. Instead, they go, Hitler was right, the Holocaust. Don't use it. You're falling into the trap. Keep the spotlight on them, and then add in the high technology sector, BDS, going after their military contracts, where they are experimenting on the Palestinians, seeing how well they can slaughter them, how efficiently with their disgusting stuff, seeing if they could put shards of tungsten and white phosphorus that penetrate the body and ignite on contact with the body fluids and burn you from the inside out. And they say it's highly effective, doesn't damage the infrastructure, but burns someone to death from the inside out, and they're happy about it. That is sickness. They are sick. Let's keep the focus on their sickness, please.
Yes, you raised so many points there, and I'll jump on a couple of them. Firstly, this circumcision business. Now, most people, myself included, I thought, you know, when a Jew is circumcised, they're taken off to hospital, they have an operation done when they're a baby, and that's that. But no, what happens is that the rabbi, or they're actually called a mohel in this instance, they literally bite the foreskin off the child's penis, no anaesthetic or anything, in a synagogue.
Sorry, my legs are crossed at this time.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, you see, if people actually, that if the man on the street knew that in these synagogues, rabbis are biting foreskins off, sucking blood out, while the baby's in agony, and then you have situations in New York, across America, I mean, where in the same way as you'll have a lawyer that specialises in property law or a lawyer that specialises in divorce law, you have lawyers that specialise in injuries inflicted on babies by careless mohels who maybe bite off more than they can chew, if you'll pardon the pun. You know, literally, this is, and these are lawyers. These are lawyers, Brendan, that actually specialise in injuries caused by mohels, nothing else. So it goes to show how wide this practice is. If you can have lawyers that can specialise in that alone as their field, and they'll keep getting work. And the other thing that you, what you're pointing us towards, I'm really, really happy with the way this show is going. I don't want to call it too soon because we're only halfway through, but is using their work, using their writings. And then they can't say, if you go to an Antifa meeting and you get out a copy of the Synagogue of Satan, they're going to say straight away, oh, racist, what have you, because it's got that symbol on the front. It's called the Synagogue of Satan. They won't realise that that term came from the Bible. They'll just see the word synagogue and Satan in the same sentence, same title, and they'll say, that's so racist, blah, blah, blah. But if instead you go with a copy of Viktor Ostrovsky's By Way of Deception, which, of course, yes, he was a former Mossad agent, and actually the better book is the second one, The Other Side of Deception. And By Way of Deception, I'm sure the listeners know, I'm going to throw it in anyway, because it only takes a couple of seconds. The Mossad motto is, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. Now, that's their special forces, folks. Now, the special forces in the UK, say the SAS, I know we've got the SBS for submarine boats, what have you, but let's say the SAS, Special Air Services, their motto is, who dares wins, okay? So it's quite a valiant, and who dares wins, you know? But look at the Jews' motto, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. So in other words, you'll lie to a lot of people and get them to fight each other. Doesn't that sound like World War One, World War Two, and all the preceding wars? And then you go back to the first Rothschild, his wife, Gutel Schnaper, who said that if my sons did not want war, there would be none. And a little aside from Ostrovsky, this is the sort of thing that you could throw in. In 1995, I've got this from my book, on October the 21st, former Mossad agent Viktor Ostrovsky, who published the two books I mentioned, on the activities of the Mossad, appears on a Canadian breakfast television show, Canada AM, with Israeli journalist Yosef Lapid, the former head of Israeli television, also on the programme via satellite link. Lapid had already called for the Mossad to seek Ostrovsky out in Canada and kill him for writing his revealing books. However, this time, Lapid states live on the show that, as Israel's Mossad could not kill Ostrovsky in Canada without causing diplomatic incident, and I quote, he said, I hope that there would be a decent Jew in Canada who would do the job for us. Subsequently, literally, this is on live TV, a threat to asking someone to kill this guy. Ostrovsky decides to sue Joseph Lapid in Canadian court for inciting his murder, and Canada AM for airing his incitement to the public. However, Ostrovsky is unable to find any lawyer in Canada who will take the case. Ostrovsky then has the last portion of his advance, $46,000, withheld by his publisher you're familiar with here, HarperCollins, owned by Jew Rupert Murdoch, against advertising. Ostrovsky informs HarperCollins that this was not in their contract, to which they reply, sue us. And then the collective Jewish harassment goes on. Ostrovsky's daughter, a television producer, is denied a job she had been offered at a Vancouver television station after its Toronto head office learns of her relationship to Ostrovsky. And Ostrovsky's Canadian publisher cancels the publication of his new book. And sometime after that, his home is burnt to the ground in an arson attack. So it's this sort of information that the Jews are giving you that if you go with what the Jews have written, let's throw up, you mentioned again this love of Hitler and this sort of stuff. Well, the problem with the alt-right, for me, is a lot of them that will go on these sites seem to be doing so just for the humour that's involved, you see. Because if you read stuff on the Daily Stormer, you know, Andrew Anglin's a very good writer. He can. I've written stories by Andrew Anglin that have made me laugh out loud. And I actually mean that, it's not just using the acronym here. And very few things do, you know, I'll sort of see something, oh, that's quite witty or what have you. But the power's there, and I think a lot of people go on there just to be entertained. And these people aren't going to go out and do anything for anybody. It's just because the mainstream now is all this promiscuity and homosexuality and race mixing and all that, then in order to rebel against the mainstream, you've got to read things like the Daily Stormer. And of course, we know that kids generally like to rebel in one way or another. And so that's the way that they rebel now. When I was younger, I'm 44 now, you rebelled by, you know, listening to, you know, sort of certain music and dressing in a certain way. But now it's gone so far that way, Brendan, you know, with all the tattoos, the piercings, all sorts of stuff like that, that you rebel by not having any of that done and following something like this National Socialism type of thing. But they're not actually doing anything active. That's the problem. So if we can use the writings of the Jews themselves against them and go to well-meaning people, as you point out, in these groups, then we can eventually start to control the narrative there and let it grow from there and let these people argue it out with their Jewish leadership, the validity of the documents that they present. What are your thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree more. You've hit the nail on the head. Look, could you imagine how nervous and shifty they'll be at every meeting if a bunch of, look, I don't care. Look, I have friends, I have black nationalist friends. I'm a big fan of Malcolm X. What can I tell you? I can't help it. He's hilarious. Some of his speeches are just so good. And when he got older and he's 44, he backed off a lot of his more inflammatory comments. He backed right off and started to get pretty mellow. So I've got a wide range of views. I was a little commie in my 20s. I still have leftist sort of leanings, you might say. But ultimately, I'm a libertarian. But I guess what I'm trying to say is if all these I know hardcore national socialists, and there's a difference between a Hitler groupie and a hardcore national socialist, because national socialists can take criticism of Adolf Hitler, and then the groupies just can't bear it. The moment you criticize stuff, they just go off, they start having fits. And what I'm saying is if these national socialist types or so-called right wing or whatever you want to call it, just start infiltrating their groups. Start wearing Che Guevara hair. You will have them so nervous. Their Jewish handlers will be so nervous. And unfortunately, so many of these alt-right, so-called right-wing, ultra-right-wing, national socialist types are actually run by Jews. They're run by Jews. One of the things they'll do is they will, if they find a target, one of the things they hate about me is I refuse to go down the Hitler track. I don't like his racial policies. I don't like it. That's okay. We can still talk. We can still have a coffee. We're not getting married, but I don't like those policies. I judge a man by the content of his character, not by the color of his melatonin. I understand the arguments, but if you're going to be giving the enemy the ammunition they love, and the sooner they can get you into that subculture of running around going, Hitler was right, and saying, have you watched The Greatest Story Never Told, which is very popular, if you go down that track, you are handing the initiative to them. Why not take the initiative off them, if that's your thing, and start infiltrating and not making yourself a target and focusing on things that will win? And if you go down the track of the racial track and talking about race mixing and talking about I'm a white nationalist, I know my rights, I want my rights, I want respect, you are going to lose. You are a problem. You're not part of the solution. You need to start focusing on their bad habits and don't give them the excuse to go after you. Later on, let the historians, let the David Irvings, and a lot of these mainstream historians want to write the truth about the Second World War. All right, I have major issues with Hitler and his eugenics program. I have major issues with Hitler and the euthanasian program on the mentally and physically handicapped. I have major issues on the Einsatzgruppen, the Sonderkommando, the special detachment units. All right, I know there's lots of lies and the Allies behave badly. The Soviets behave horribly. We know that. It's not a competition. But I'm not going to rehabilitate Hitler from Satan to saint. I'm not going to do it. There's argument. So why don't we let the historians, why don't we get the beast, that wolf from around their neck, which is the ADL, AIPAC, all these Jewish groups, these powerful lobbies that threatened, that beat Forreston half to death, that went after Fred Leuchter, that put Germa Rudolph in jail for 3 years when he simply stated that, yes, Fred Leuchter's analysis of the so-called gas chambers was correct. There is no cyanide residue in. And then they put what his lawyer, I can't remember his lawyer's name, in jail for a year for defending him too vigorously. These absurd, Ernst Zundel, of course, these absurd prison sentences being handed down to people for questioning history. Why don't we just let them just drop it, and all those hardcore revisionists go after the Israeli high technology sector, BDS, and their racism, their craziness, their psychosis, their yeshivas, their Orthodox Judaism, their crazy rabbis, their hatred of non-Jews. Why don't we go after them using their own books? And then when we've taken away Jewish power, when we've got that muzzled dog, this crazy foaming at the mouth, rabid dog called Jewish power, when we put a muzzle on it, get it under control, get it out of our politics, specifically, you know, political Zionism, it is accurate in that terms. It is a powerful political movement. It's a sword that's being fueled by Jewish supremacism via the Judaism. But if we can get it out of US politics especially and out of European politics, then let the historians look accurately at the Second World War. And we know there's been a pile of lies piled on Germany. Germany has paid the price 100 times over. They've suffered horrendously before, during, and after the war. Let's just get the truth. It's not about taking sides. Let's just have the truth. Jews certainly suffered, European Jews, many of whom were loyal to Germany, loyal to Europe. They suffered. There was lots of suffering all around. So let's just get the truth. And ultimately, let me say, I'm a universalist, feel-good Christian, but let's all hug and kiss and get along. Let's just get this rabid dog, this Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox Judaism, feeding political Zionism. Let's get it under control and take it from there. That's my point of view.
Thank you, Brendan. And as you were talking through that there, it reminded me of the book Hitler's Jewish Soldiers by Brian Mark Rigg,
which
I haven't read it, but obviously I've heard of it. I can tell you have as well. And it was apparently 150,000 soldiers, he alleges, which were known as the Mischling, that were actually Jewish. I've just typed in this to Amazon, and he's written other books, this Brian Mark Rigg. And here's another one. Lives of Hitler's Jewish Soldiers. Untold Tales of Men of Jewish Descent Who Fought for the Third Reich. Another title. The Rabbi Saved by Hitler's Soldiers. Rebbe Joseph Isaac Schneerson and His Astonishing Rescue. I mean, surely if there were some Jewish soldiers in the National Socialist regime, then Israel should be paying Holocaust reparations as well, shouldn't they?
Absolutely. He does really good research. Again, I've only read extracts, but his sourcing and his original documentation he uses is really, really good. So this guy's bang on. I think it was 180,000 that they were considered half Jewish or quarter Jewish, and there was a couple of what may be considered almost full Jewish. They included admirals and generals. There was a whole range, and he goes into extreme detail. And I mean, this really confuses the issue, doesn't it, Andrew? You think, what the hell's going on here? What's the truth going on here? So, I mean, it's a bit like I had a friend. He's a hardcore National Socialist, but he's highly intelligent, highly cultured. He doesn't listen to heavy metal. He's not into blood and honor. He's a cultured man. Like Hitler was into architecture. He'd consider most of these so-called neo-Nazis a bunch of degenerate Jewish filth, and he'd put them in camps. And, you know, as he said, Brendan, are you sure about this? When I was complaining about certain aspects of the quote-unquote Holocaust, and I said, yeah, the Wannasee Conference. Haven't you read the Wannasee Conference? He said, yes, I have, actually. Have you read it? I said, well, I haven't read it, but I was told, you know, that's where the final solution. This was like 15 years ago. And he's my friend to this day, this gentleman who's in Europe as we speak. And he said, well, why don't you go read the English translation of that Wannasee conference with Heydrich and Himmler, and where the supposed final solution was carried out to kill all the Jews. And when you actually read the translation, there is nothing in there about killing them. The only thing in there is about transporting those into the Eastern Bloc. Once the war was over in Russia, they would get them a land of their own there. And it wasn't exactly a liberal, nice document. But they're also saying that those who had won the Iron Cross in the First World War would be allowed to stay in Germany. But there's a whole range. So when you actually go and read the paperwork, which they're hoping you won't, you'll actually see that what that's saying is a damn lie. And, you know, books like, you know, Brian, the books on Hitler's Jewish Soldiers, they confuse you. You go, what's going on here? And, you know, that's a book you can use, but maybe why don't we just leave it and just focus on them? That's all I'm suggesting. I think we're going to get a lot further with that strategy than trying to convince people that the Second World War was a lie. We can do that later. Let the official historians do it, because I honestly believe, Andrew, they are itching to give us the truth. I mean, I'm sure Wilhelm Canaris was working for the British. All that rubbish about the Enigma, the Ultra Intercepts, and how the British were so clever and you know, I'm sure Wilhelm Canaris was giving the bloody code books to Alan Dulles in Switzerland under the Lucy Spiring. There's so many lies about the Second World War. And the only reason Hitler lost that war was because the ultra intercepts were giving Stalin the entire German order of battle, sometimes within 24 to 48 hours, so much so that Stalin was so paranoid that Churchill was setting him up because he couldn't believe he was getting so much accurate information. And when generals like Manstein and Gadarin refused to use Enigma to communicate with the Wolf's Lair back in Eastern Prussia, funny thing is they just ripped apart the Soviet armies because the Soviet armies were getting all that information. You could argue quite easily that the only reason Stalin won that war was because of the ultra intercepts. And these things are not openly talked about by the historians. They seem to, you know, we've got to keep the English stiff upper lip, and England only won because of their genius, when in actual fact they won because of probably one thing, ultra intercepts.
Yes, and I mean, another thing that we can look at, I mean, there's stories of these Waffen SS type of, you had soldiers, I think, from all around the world that were fighting for Hitler. So it was never this Aryan thing that keeps being portrayed today. But I agree, Number we one. Need to hand over to, to historians in the future. It's just finding little bits and pieces. I've got something else here, I think that there's a great evidence that they're trying to set up for a race war, in the sense of all the immigration being pushed into Europe, for example. I know it's happening all over the world, you know, this influx of Muslims, and of course it creates friction when you get groups that just aren't going to assimilate with one another, and they're just being built up around one another. But if we take a book here, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, which I've got in my hand, and I've just got onto the second page, it says a note on sources. The information contained herein has been compiled primarily from Jewish historical literature. Every effort has been made to present evidence from the most respected of the Jewish authorities and whose works appear in established historical journals or are published by authoritative Jewish publishing houses. A substantial body of evidence that supports the findings herein was excluded by the editors and deemed to be from sources considered anti-Semitic and or anti-Jewish. So I've read this book, and it is a scholarly book, and it basically proves that it wasn't the white race behind the slave trade, folks. It was the Jewish race behind the slave trade. And who wrote it? That anti-Semitic organisation, the Nation of Islam. You know, sorry, you know, I meant that white nationalist organisation, the Nation of Islam. That's what I was trying to say. You know, so when you're seeing that happen, and you can get evidence like that, again, if you put the book Who Brought the Slaves to America in front of a black group, they'd probably be like, well, this is racist. You know, this isn't true. You're a white nationalist, and you've written that to exonerate yourselves. But if you put their own book, Nation of Islam, Who Brought, Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 1, then they can't refute that.
No, and what about Professor Tony Martin?
Yeah.
You know, his book, two-thirds of all the slaves were slave traders were Jews. Some of them out of Amsterdam, Portugal, and they were running them all into the south, and most of the southern landowners were Jewish. And they'd convert to Christianity. That's why they're always quoting the damned Old Testament in the South. Always. Jewish history down there in the South. But look, I agree 100%. Professor Tony Martin comes right out and lays it out. And Africans, of course, involved. Everyone was involved in it. Muslims were involved in it. But this is the narrative. It doesn't fit the narrative. The narrative is that white man's evil, da, 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 and getting race wars happening, Christians fighting Muslims, gays fighting straights. I mean, you remember that song by... how's the song? Wonder Who the Real Men Are? I can't remember the song. It's like, kill all the blacks, kill all the whites. There'll be war between the sexes and there'll be nobody left in the 80s. It's a great song. And, I mean, this is the point, divide and conquer. And, you know, they're experts at it. They've got to get us all fighting and killing each other. And, I mean, are there even Muslims being poured into Europe? I mean, Israel Hassan is a Syrian Jew, and he was the head of the Shin Bet, and he said in 2014, Jewish blood is not cheap blood. It was reported in the Al Jamaa, and I highlighted that in one of my videos with my Iraqi friend, Louis. And he said, Jewish blood is not cheap blood. If Europe abandons Israel, he says, we will flood you with immigrants. It will flood you, he said. You're going to have jihadis in your kindergartens, in your beds, in your schools. He buys a blatant. He said it to the European diplomats. I mean, what a threat. And he carried it out. And so all these so-called, they're not Muslims, half of them, they're just the riffraff and the poor and the desperate from North Africa, from all over the Middle East, after, you know, we've kindly decimated their land, destroyed their infrastructure, destroyed any hope, and then there's Israel shoving them all into Europe. And the part of the Annan plan, we want to make our problem your problem, so you'll come and kill Muslims for us, and we'll set Christian against Muslim. That's all they do all day. They wake up in the morning and go, how can I get Muslims to kill Christians? And how can I get Christians to kill Muslims? That's all they think about all day, literally.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, it's getting these Jewish sources, folks. But for example, say you got the Barbara Lerner Spector speech on your phone. You got your YouTube. You go to some Antifa group and you play it to someone and you say, what do you think of that? Well, they're going to agree with her. Okay, they're white, what have you, because they're left wing and they don't see race as a social construct. And so you've got to be careful with what material you promote to what group. You've got to see what their ethos is. And it's not just a group, folks. We're not saying you have to go in as all these agents. You know, start off small with friends. You've got friends, and you know, if you, what happened with me years ago with this Holocaust material was I was getting in through 9/11 and Kennedy assassination, all this sort of stuff that I was researching. And I used to get really annoyed about this Holocaust stuff because I thought, you know, these people are cheapening what's out there because it's obvious that this happened. You know, I've seen these pictures and what have you. So what are these people up to? And then you look at it and you see how the evidence, and it just did not occur the way that they say. I'm not going to get into it now. I mean, I've written articles about it. But if you go to a mainstream left-wing person, and that's what they are now, the mainstream, and you say about the Holocaust, they're going to run a mile, okay? So you've got to work out who you're talking to. So if they're already a contact, then try and give them information that will make them do some of their own research and then follow their own path and then wake up.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. Look at your audience. Like, women are a big one. You show women, look what they're doing to these children in Gaza. Look what they're doing to the Palestinians. Look what they've done in Iraq. I mean, Iraq, my God, that is just a war crime of war crimes. Sowing depleted uranium, destroying their infrastructure, destroying you know, these are the Amalekites. Read the Old Testament. Read the Talmud. They said, we will kill man, woman, infant, and suckling. Suckling means a newborn baby. Kill them all. All right, they are psychotic. They are crazy. You've got this fueling this stuff. So I go to women and should I go to a woman and say, you know, Hitler was right. You know, Hitler's been get a very bad rap. Do you think that's going to work? So you know what I say? I say, yeah, it's really bad what's going on over there. And they might say, oh, yeah, well, you know, Muslims and Jews are sort of fighting each other for years. Oh, well, I don't know about that. You know, a lot of the Muslims there, you know, do you hear what the rabbis say? No, what do the rabbis say? Well, a lot of the rabbis are, you know, these are the top rabbis and they're hanging with Tony Blair and they're hanging with the top industry leaders in London and the United States. Yeah, what do they say? Oh, well, they say that all non-Jews are their slaves and you should kill at every opportunity a non-Jew and really crazy stuff. I mean, have you read Jewish historian Israel Shahak, Jewish History, Jewish Religion, The Weight of 3,000 Years? Well, what's that book? Oh, lots of stuff in there. And, you know, New York Times, rabbis and sucking little babies' penises. And they go, what? Sucking? Oh, yeah. They were pulled up about it in the New York Times and they claimed they were going to keep doing it. They gave the baby herpes and it died. They go, what? And that's my intro. That's how I do it, Andrew. And you know what? I get 100% success rate. 100%.
Yeah, and yeah, it's great to bounce off one another because just then I was just looking up Madeleine Albright. Of course, she's Jewish, and she said that she thought the deaths of 500,000 Iraqi children were worth it. You remember that comment back in first...
I remember watching it live. I remember watching it on the news as it happened.
And so, you know, again, there you've got someone, you point that out as to who they are. And also... the infamous Joel Stein piece, do Jews control the media? Yes, we do, and I'm proud of it. And he even makes jokes in there, you know.
Andrew didn't just say that. He said, you bet Jews control the media and the government and the politics. And he said, the only thing I care about is that we get to keep on running them.
Quote. Yeah, exactly. So it's just really food for thought, folks, because essentially... it frustrates me. It frustrates Brendan enormously because he's done so much. You know, with Brendan, you've got to understand that he can't go to his country of birth. He can't see his friends and his family. And he still goes on to do tremendous work. And he gets frustrated, as do I, that we don't see any movement. We don't see any changes.
And the reason why is because of Talpiot. They've got control of all the damn politicians. I mean, we solved the JFK murder a long time ago. What's changed? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And because it is this control of the media, and so that's another angle. What I'd suggest to the listeners to do, and of course, you can still, you know, you should, as Brendan says, get out on the street talking to people, flyers, what have you. But even for those of you who are reluctant to do that, with your mainstream buddies who don't really get involved in this stuff, you know, just send them something like the Joel Stein piece. And just say, have you seen this? What do you think? And then they'll say, well, I don't know. What does this mean? Well, you can say, isn't it interesting that they never really attack Israel? Isn't it interesting that in the media, when you had the that attack on that flotilla going out of Turkey where 11 people were killed, these aid workers, isn't it interesting that the media, like the BBC, referred to them as activists? Why did they say activists rather than aid workers bringing aid over? Because activist sounds more aggressive than aid worker. You can't really justify killing 11 aid workers, but you might be able to justify killing 11 activists because it sounds more threatening.
Wonderful BBC.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so it's just little things like that that they're very clever at how they shape language, and you have to fight them on the sort of structure that they're using. You don't let them get by you. You make sure you get by them as well. And so I think that we're coming up to time, so I'm going to hand back to Brendan. Brendan, can you also run through your websites, your YouTube, where people can get hold of you, and anything else that you want to bring up that you haven't yet? We can overrun if you need to, so I'll hand back to you now.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Yeah, good interview. I'm glad we've had this discussion. Now, there's a lot of talk now. I've been deliberately provocative online because I just had it. I've had a go at quite a few people, people like Ryan Dawson, who has a huge following, a man who abuses Christians and has a go at Chinese tourists. But if you mention a Jewish racial and religious supremacist, and the man has a heart attack and just will not mention it and fight you for it. You've got to start looking at these people critically. These people who are just one-hit wonders, they won't push on. They say the same thing over and over and over again. Oh, Israel's bad. Israel kills kids. We need to start getting a bit more aggressive, getting out on the street. We can be clever about it. We can start really focusing our attention and tailoring the message. This is a war, so become like a counterintelligence officer. Look at your audience. Look how you're going to do it. We've got a friend, Jason Harrison, young guy who's going to get a bunch of his mates, and they're going to hand out flyers in Perth. And whenever you meet these people and they're going to constantly say, oh, handing out flyers is pointless. Oh, what are you doing that for? These are the same people that will sit on Facebook all day. You should be very suspicious about them. At least get them out of your life. Start getting out on the street. This is how things changed. People got out on the street. They had banners. They had flyers. Just be cautious. Keep away from race. Keep away from Holocaust. Keep the attention on them. With Jason's flyers, they'll be focusing on corruption in Australia, in Western Australia in particular. The police, Detective Carl Casilli, ordered the green light for the murder of Mike Nemoski by Paul Nunzio Stagno. This is a huge scandal in Western Australia, and it's going to break into the Australian mainstream where it was covered up by the local authorities. And he's doing that plus the national security issue, which was my case, Talpiot, my case, locked up for 3 years. So he's shaping that argument and tailoring it for Western Australia. He'll be handing it out in front of the courthouse. He's going to be doing it regularly with his friend Mustafa, a Muslim guy who was hounded and harassed and threatened with death. And when he reported it, the police did nothing. Had he been Jewish, it would have been front page news. The guy would have got 10 years. Nothing happened. He's highlighting his case, and they're tailoring it to Western Australia. So people have to go and tailor the message to their particular audience, but start with national security issue. And remember this term: your personal lawful interests, number one, and the public interest. The public interest trumps everything. So you can argue public interest. This is a national security issue. Operation Talpiot, Israel's domination of the high technology sector, their predilection for bribery, blackmail, Jeffrey Epstein, Israeli military intelligence, honeypots, all that stuff. And that's how they control media. That's how they control the politicians. And that's why we never move forward. They control key personnel in the security industry, in the intelligence industry, in the policing. And we've got to free up those good people within the military and the policing and intelligence who hate Israel. Look, Phil Giraldi was the former CIA station chief having lunch with Mark Glenn. And he told Mark Glenn the CIA hate Israel and the FBI hate Israel even more. And Phil Giraldi has come out swinging on numerous occasions, showing a whole bunch of ex-intelligence people who are screaming against Israel. And when you focus on that and the way they are stealing U.S. high technology, which is being funded by the U.S. taxpayer, and you have people like Rabbi Dov Zakheim stealing $3 trillion and sending it to Israel, and then they start building high technology factories and stealing American jobs and stealing American high tech, and then they're on-selling to China, on-selling to India, and giving it, they are giving it to Putin and they are giving it to Russia. Putin and Netanyahu are very close. And when you go down this path and tailor it, man, it gets people angry. It gets military people angry. It gets the intelligence community angry. And you've got to get those people turning against this AIPAC, the Jewish Defense League. And they are arresting rabbis. They're arresting these crazy lunatic Orthodox Jews. I mean, there's a lot of animosity within the policing and military. And you've got to focus your program very specifically, and then you're going to avoid all these pitfalls. So it's a national security issue, and you are an anti-racist campaigner. You are not going to tolerate racist Jews, racist criminal Jews with their terrorist handbooks, the Shulchan Aruch, Babylonian Talmud, books of Zohar, Jewish mysticism, and how they command you to wipe out all non-Jews, the Amalekites, kill the newborn babies, quote it, and they are being quoted by the rabbis to the Israeli Defense Force, and that is how they treat the Palestinians. Look at their books. Look at what they do. So if you take those twin pillars and tailor that message, you will not be brought under legislation, no matter what they say. You just sit there and go, oh, no, Adolf Hitler was bad, man. I hate those fascists, man. Put on your Che Guevara shirt, get your dreadlocks happening, stick a joint in your mouth, go and save a gay whale and say how much you hate Hitler. Holocaust was real. 60 trillion Jews died. Make it a billion. Make it a trillion. Make it infinite. Whatever they want to hear. Just say how much you hate Hitler, and that's how we'll win. Or you can run around saying Hitler was right, going nowhere, and what you've said, saying you don't like blacks or whatever, and race mixing, and start using that language, and then you end up in jail for 4 years. So this is a war. You have no rights. Tailor your message to win. That's my opinion, and I appreciate the opportunity, Andrew. I really do, and I respect your work.
Yeah, likewise, Brendan. And before we go, can you give your YouTube and your website, etc.?
YouTube is Brendan O'Connell, so it's B-R-E-N-D-O-N, Brendan O'Connell, O apostrophe C-O-N-N-E-L-L, and it should come up. I have a backup website, which is simple. It's www.boc, Bravo Oscar Charlie, that's my initials, Brendan O'Connell, so www.boc.rocks, R-O-C-K-S, boc.rocks. And you'll get my backup website. But I have a main blog. It's unfortunately a Google blog, and it's isolatebutpreserve.blogspot.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I want to thank everyone for listening. I'll be back with you all soon, and bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.